Richmond now has his own theme song. Woo! Dr. Sir, you have been elevated in status on the Dennis Prager Show. Folks, twice a year, is that correct? It shows you how fast the years go. It's like you were sitting in here just 6 months ago. That was a funny guy.
It was. Actually, it was December. Longer.
Yeah, he's so serious. I love it. I do love it.
I'm actually not, though. You know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
when I have to be.
Yes, that's correct. That's fair enough. Folks, this is, it's truly, there is no financial interest here. There is no, the only interest in having Dr. Richmond twice a year is to save your life. Okay? And you know I don't overstate things. I wouldn't be surprised if he saved mine. There's no way to know. It's not like I wasn't dying. He didn't rescue me from a pond in Michigan in the winter. But I had, as so many Americans have, the symptoms, if you will, or the measurements that would have, that could have easily led to some, what do you call it, heart, what's the word?
Event.
I love that word, heart event. And when I think of the men who just died suddenly, and every time Dr. Richmond, I think of you, and I'm not saying if they'd have gone to you wouldn't have happened.
But you can't forget also the women. Remember, it's the number one cause of death in women.
No, you're right, and I don't remember that, and it is important that you said that. Dr. Michael Richmond is head of the Lipid Center. He is specifically here. Let me give it to you. He's a heart surgeon. And he's founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management. That is the name. But I'm thinking lipids, and that's the reason I said that. Center for Cholesterol Management in West Los Angeles, California. And here is why. Because his website is lipidcenter.com. Dr. Michael Richmond, welcome back to the Dennis Prager Show. You're looking healthy. You need a shave, but you're looking healthy. But you work so hard you don't have time to shave.
Right. Actually, several years ago, somebody told me that I looked better with the three-day look. I looked more mature because I have such a kid's face.
Was it a woman or a man who said it?
A woman.
See, that's what it is. One woman tells him that, and we're doomed. We're going to bring in some women to tell you look better clean-shaven. But it doesn't. Frankly, if you had an eye in the middle of your head, I would go to you. You are a terrific doctor.
Thank you.
No, you are. You are. And you're so serious about your work, which I love, because you are in the business of saving lives. You should be. So, folks, let me tell you the first and the biggest. Every 6 months, this is repeated. This is the only thing in medicine that I know. And I know it well. I can now explain it very well. Folks, when you go to get your cholesterol measured, you're not getting the full measurement because you're not measuring what are called lipids. And I can give you the great analogy that is entirely Dr. Richmond's, but I know how to articulate it now. So here goes. And then I want you to tell me about any recent developments in this arena. Are more heart doctors, heart surgeons, and patients becoming aware, or is it still more or less esoteric? And here is very simple, very simply, my friends. When you go to get your cholesterol measured, you are measuring passengers in cars. What clogs freeways and or highways, expressways, turnpikes, throughways, because it's a national show, everybody has a different term. What clogs them? The number of vehicles, correct? Not the number of passengers. Typical cholesterol measurement is of passengers, not vehicles. In effect, who cares? Which is an interesting question. Should we even care about the regular measurement, given that it is about passengers?
But, no.
Wow, really? So the regular cholesterol, if a guy comes in and says, I have low cholesterol, you yawn.
Right, because most diabetics are pre-diabetics. If you remember Tim Russert, when he died.
I always think of Tim Russert.
He had a normal total cholesterol. He had a normal LDL cholesterol. So the people, he had a low good cholesterol, and he had high triglycerides. Warning sign. Guess who else had it? Dennis Prager.
Yep, That's right. Okay? That's why I say, who
and
knows
that's
if
called
he saved
diabetic
my life?
Dyslipidemia, where you have high triglycerides, low good cholesterol, and normal regular cholesterol.
Now, it's not diabetes. Let's be clear. I don't have diabetes.
Right, right, right. But that's
you could be on your way.
Correct.
Right. Go on.
Correct. Well, here's what's interesting about it is, and I think this is unbelievable, is that the guidelines were originally set by what's called the Adult Treatment Panel, ATP, okay? And there was ATP 1, 2, 3. Three met in early 2000s, and they were the ones who set the guidelines, measure the people in the cars. Well, guess what? They've been trying to meet for 2 years and set the new guidelines, ATP-4, and they finally just punted and said, let every organization decide guidelines on their own, okay, which is amazing, because this is now the, quote, government now punting and saying let every – so their official thing was let the American College of Cardiology set their own cholesterol guidelines.
All right.
Well, guess what the American College of Cardiology has said? And
what?
We talked about it. It's on my website.
Yeah.
In 2008, a consensus paper from the American Diabetic Association, American College of Cardiology, said – anybody with risk, so that means first-degree relative dying, diabetes, prediabetes, hypertension, smoking, that this type of testing is the standard of care. There's six major organizations.
You mean the testing for the vehicles?
Correct.
Which is not done almost at all.
And this was 2008, they said it. But right. Now NSEP, who was supposed to meet and change the guidelines, said, hey, we're not changing any guidelines. We're not going to make any new guidelines. Let the American College of Cardiology decide theirs, let the American Heart Association. So I think that is basically a pass in saying, hey, we know what is right and we know what's good. We're not going to mandate everything. We're going to supply all the data and everything and let each organization make their own decision.
Well, is there any organization that doesn't advise this?
It's in Canada. It's the standard of care. In Canada,
yeah.
You can go get advanced testing just by being in the public health care system. It is in every single lab in Canada.
How ironic. How ironic.
And there's six major societies, the European Cardiovascular Society, College of
Cardiology. So there's really no debate on this issue.
No. And we've talked. Here's the interesting thing, and I've brought it up before. 1967, Dr. Friedrichsen at the NIH, head of National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Google his name. We still call it today the Friedrichsen Cholesterol Classification. He wrote New England Journal, premier journal, essentially, I'm paraphrasing it, atherosclerosis is a car disorder, not a people in the car disorder. In other words, it's a lipoprotein disorder.
Right, exactly.
He wrote it in 67, and you know,
yes.
People walk around like this is some new novel concept.
All right. So, you know, I don't know if I may have posed this in a past meeting with you. But I'm very hesitant because of my respect for doctors, and we're not here to bash anybody. But it's inevitable that one will have the question, if it's so well known and it's so significant, why doesn't the average cardiologist prescribe this test?
Well, first, I want to make one comment. Is a physician in Florida who is internationally known, who's written three books, who I have the utmost respect for, Michael Osner, who wrote Heart Attack Proof, The South Beach Mediterranean Diet, The Great American Heart Hoax, he was the biggest interventional cardiologist doing angioplasties in South Florida, walked away from that and became head of wellness for all of Baptist Healthcare, walked away from doing interventions, and has been doing what I've been doing a lot longer. And he even puts on an international conference every year, and he and I have exactly the same philosophy, and he sends me patients on the West Coast, and he called me out of the clear blue, never heard of him, even though he's a famous author, and he's phenomenal, and said, Mike, we're doing it right. Believe me, we're doing it right. And he is an interventional cardiologist who walked away from it.
Right, I agree. So what's the answer to my question, though? Why isn't the average cardiologist prescribing this test?
In short, as we talked about, is number one, the reimbursements to spend time, you know, we're talking reality, in a patient's room to spend 45 minutes with them and to get $100 from Blue Cross is very difficult.
You think there's a monetary reason that they don't?
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. We'll be back in a moment. 1-8-PRAGER-776, talking to Dr. Michael Richman, heart surgeon, founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management, West Los Angeles, California, lipidcenter.com. We continue in a moment. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. Twice a year, I have this doctor on to save your life. That's the only reason, and it is as simple as that. And just this one insight can do it, because for reasons that I'm trying to establish with Dr. Michael Richman, it's R-I-C-H-M-A-N, it is not generally tested. It is nothing, folks. They take blood and send it to a lab. That's the whole test. It's like any other cholesterol test, except it measures what is most significant. And again, compare your arteries to highways and ask yourself what clogs up highways. And the answer is not passengers. If everybody were in a giant bus, there would be no traffic, right? Right. The issue is the cars. How many vehicles? We measure now, standard measurement. When you tell me, or you tell Dr. Richman, you have low cholesterol, you are telling him you have a low number of passengers. And apparently that is not nearly as significant, not apparently, it is not nearly as significant as the number of vehicles. The vehicles are lipoproteins, correct?
Correct.
Right. His website is lipidcenter.com, L-I-P-I-D-center.com. So I was asking you, because it seems so logical. In Canada, it's standard, you're telling me, which I didn't know from all your visits. I didn't know that. I just wonder, why does the average person going to a fine cardiologist not get this test?
So we touched on one reason, and you know I speak reality, okay? Because we've got to talk reality, and some things, you know, need to be said. But when a reimbursement for seeing a, quote, complex patient like this is $100, okay, to spend the amount of time I spend with somebody, you hardly can pay your bills, let alone your malpractice and overhead. So that's number one. So
doctors
can see four patients in an hour.
But if they're measuring regular cholesterol, why it's not extra time to measure lipids?
Sure, because how much time do I spend with each patient?
That's because you're a very serious doctor. That's fine. But even the doctor who spends a lot of time doesn't do this test.
It doesn't matter, because if you have to spend a considerable amount of time explaining to them the physiology and why this is done and how it works, and if you could see four patients in an hour and just say, because everybody knows regular cholesterol testing, okay, and I'm going to put you on Lipitor, your cholesterol's high, that's four patients in an hour versus me seeing one patient in an hour because I have an obligation to explain everything to them. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, they don't teach it.
That's what I think that that's frankly, look, I'm not a doctor, but I believe that that's I believe the average cardiologist who spends more time than 15 minutes, the only reason is he doesn't know about it.
Well, but you know what's sad? And you know I'm a heart surgeon, but it's on my website. In 2008, the American Diabetic Association, American College of Cardiology, published a guideline consensus paper, which is the cardiologist's governing body, and said anybody who has any cardiometabolic risk, in other words, any of the risk factors, advanced testing is the standard of care. And if you ask most cardiologists, they don't know the document, they've never heard of it, and
That's what I believe. I'll give the benefit of the doubt and say it's ignorance.
But the reason why this is so important is, and it's my obligation to explain it to people, is because you have to explain the physiology. You're saying it, you know, in a very simplistic term, but if you want to really understand it, is cholesterol is an oil and blood is water, okay? And oil and water don't mix. So by pure physiology, by pure logic, the body has to put these people in cars in order to drive them around and traffic them, because if the people are the excuse me, if the cars don't traffic them around, how are you going to get the cholesterol around? Because the cholesterol is an oil and blood is a water. So the point is that this is what the body does. It's pure physiology.
Okay. So, all right. Look, I'm just pointing out, it isn't done. I don't want people to start suspecting anything about their cardiologist. All I want you to do is take this test, folks. And any cardiologist can have the test arranged, correct?
Any doctor can.
Any doctor.
I mean, I have, you know how many doctors come and see me?
Yeah.
And I have cardiologists who come and see me. And, you know, I'm delighted.
What is the name of the test? That's a good, we got a cool.
Well, the specific, you know, I mean, I do more than that, but it's advanced lipoprotein testing. But it's specifically doing NMR. Okay, there's different ways to do it, but it's using nuclear magnetic resonance.
All right, now I want to,
which is an MRI, essentially.
I want to touch another subject, totally related, and I want to take calls 1-8-PRAGER-776. And what I want you to address is why somebody 30 years old listening should care.
Heart disease starts in infancy. Okay, if you do autopsies on babies, they already have yellow streaks in their aorta, okay? I think that just we talked about is so important. About 2 months ago, published in the, I believe it was the San Francisco, is it the Examiner? The San Francisco Examiner was an article that they CT scan, they did a CAT scan of 100 and I believe 29 mummies, cardiologists and radiologists and archaeologists spanning over 4,000 years. In different continents, and a lot of them ate the, quote, paleo diet. And guess what they found? Coronary artery disease in women and young people, debunking the myth that it's a disease of today. So
folks,
what that is telling you...
Folks, I want to italicize. Did you hear that, folks? Mummies from how long? Thousands
4,
of years ago?
4,000 years ago.
Mummies from 4,000 years ago who were not, to the best of my knowledge, not at Burger King. They were not at Taco Bell. They were eating what we now know like the paleo diet.
Different continents.
And they all had heart disease. And every age.
Right. And then furthermore, in 2010, there were 270,000 heart deaths that year. Okay? If we are doing it correctly, and this is my whole point I make to you all the time, if everybody is doing it correctly, why is heart disease still the number one killer?
If everybody's doing what correctly?
The type of testing that we've been doing.
Uh-huh.
Shouldn't it be coming down? Shouldn't obesity and pre-diabetes be coming down? I mean, parents are feeding their kids kale. Why is everybody getting fatter?
And what is the answer to that?
Because it's genetics. 20% of this whole thing is diet. 80% is your genes. You can't change your genes. And if you do traditional risk factor scoring, for example, if you came into me with no risk factors, okay, didn't have high blood pressure, didn't have this, didn't have that, but you said to me, every male in your family died at 55 of a heart attack.
Right.
That's not in traditional risk factor scoring. Well, guess what? To me, you're about as high risk as they come. You're a walking dead man unless we do something.
All right. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richman. Get that test. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show. Hello, my friends. This is a good example of why people do get Pragertopia, because they want to have this to give to friends. They want to hear this again, and you should get every hour that I broadcast downloaded for $5 a month. You can't get anything for $5 a month.
You get me for free.
Okay, fine. That's true. At lipidcenter.com, you do. That's true. But, okay, you're $5 less than I am. And you should go there, by the way, lipidcenter.com. What Dr. Michael Richman has written for WebMD is there, and he's written a great deal.
I mean, everything I write.
Yeah, is up there. And
right.
It's a nice-looking site. I just
Thank
checked
you.
It out.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're saving lives, as I say. That's why I have you on. And this information is so important. I'd like you to address to people, and I understand this totally, because diet is not unimportant, but you get vegans who are shocked. at their numbers, don't you?
Vegans. Blown away who have – they have sometimes worse numbers than the obese gentleman who comes in and
– with a hamburger in his head.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you can't change your genetic makeup
right.
of where you came from.
Yep.
And
yep.
let's – you know, and the patients who are resistant to me, they come in because they're curious. Let's say a vegan or just something, and their numbers are a disaster – and they say, let me try diet 3 months. And my line to them is, you've been trying for 30 years. But we'll give you 3 more months.
Right.
And then they come in and they say, I surrender.
Right. But I think it's very important because I had not realized this. There's a new diet, the paleo diet, eat like cavemen. And so the caveman didn't have anything processed. The caveman didn't have bread. The caveman didn't have glutens. There's a whole list.
And neither did the mummies 4,000 years ago.
That's the point. That's the point. That's why the mummy thing is so powerful. These mummies of men, women, and children.
Different continents.
Different continents. And they all had a heart disease when autopsied thousands of years later. Why? And I plead guilty. Why do I... And so many people associate heart disease with men much more than with women.
I think a lot of it is the social stigma. I mean, because I have, and you know this, how many men come into me with their wives, and I see the man, not the wife.
Yeah, why? That's what I'm asking.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because the wife in a traditional family is, quote, the caretaker. Okay, and they got to keep their husband well.
Okay, fair enough.
And it's not until they come in and they see it and they're like, why aren't I having this done? But if you total up the next 7 causes of death in a woman, it doesn't even come close to the deaths of cardiovascular disease.
That includes breast cancer and...
Every cancer, you name it, it doesn't even come close to the number of deaths from heart disease and stroke in women.
That's why I have you on, sir. Let's go to your calls here. Scott is 48. I'll mention ages where it's relevant. Hi, Scott in Cleveland. Dennis Prager and Dr. Michael Richmond.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
Following in my father's footsteps, when he was 45, he had his first bypass. 3 years ago, almost to the day, I had mine. It was through dumb luck that they found it. I've never had this test. I'm sure my highway is filled with those dumb little smart cars. Once you take the test and you find out how bad it really is, my question is, what's the next step? What do you do after that? And when should I start to test my children? They're young.
All right. Did you get the whole question? Because I know the earphones weren't all that effective.
Sure.
Okay,
good.
So what do you do? You get the test. You find out you got high numbers. You get this lipids test. What do you do then?
Then after looked at and analyzed the whole thing, you individualize therapy to treat that person. It's not a one-size-fits-all type of thing.
But isn't it... Uh-huh. So it's not traditional cholesterol drugs that will combat
it? It is, but how do you know which cholesterol drug? How
okay,
do you know which combinations?
Enough. Okay.
And I mean, I want to make an amazing point is that finally, and I mentioned it last December... There's a brand new drug by a Gerion corporation, which finally was approved, and it's the first drug in a long time for a specific high cholesterol.
What's the name?
The name is Juxtapid.
All right. We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richmond, lipidcenter.com. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the biannual Save Your Life Hour on the Dennis Prager Show. Most of the hours are Save Your Conscience or Save Your Faculty of Reason. This is Save Your Life. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here. And my biannual guest is Dr. Michael Richmond, heart surgeon and clear thinker and unbelievably hard worker. In fact, I just told him if he keeps working this hard, he's going to go before his patients. And that's not funny, Dr. R. You need a vacation. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, desperately.
If you're a patient of Dr. Richmond, we are going to start a fund. Send Dr. Richmond to a Pago. Pango Pango. Is that how it's pronounced? Yeah. That's it.
At this point, I'm happy to go to the Commerce Casino and get a room facing the alley so I can watch stabbings just to get away. I've asked my friends who are in the FBI. You met one of them.
Yes.
To please hold me as a person of interest in a hotel.
That may be just as effective. You're quite right. Two things before I go to more calls that have been in the news. One really blew my mind because you are such an advocate of fish oil. And that was that increased fish oil at a certain point increases chances in men of prostate cancer. What's your I have two questions. Your reaction scientifically, and B, if it's negative, why did they say this?
First of all, it's a disgrace. Okay, the world's authority on fish oil is Dr. Bill Harris, and you can Google him. But I also wrote a long article, and Dr. Harris, who developed the omega-3 index, wrote an amazing article. And what, what the media didn't say, the trial was called the SELECT trial, and it was selenium and vitamin E in cancer prevention. That was the original trial, not fish oil, and it was a prospective trial. Then the guys, the authors, came in to get another paper out of it and did a little observational study within this and said, hey, it seems like people who were taking fish oil, but they never gave anybody fish oil in the trial, okay? It wasn't part of the trial, have higher prostate cancer. Since when does observation mean the same thing as causation unless you do a trial?
Right.
Okay? Now, but what they neglected is there's 8 major trials with 78,000 people showing that fish oil lowers prostate cancer risk and all cancer risks. Okay, and in Japan, what happens in Japan where they eat a lot of fish? They have a much lower risk.
And the irony is they're the biggest smoking Western nation and the lowest incidence of cancer. And so it shows you the power of fish.
I mean, as I said, Dr. Harris is the world's authority, and I think quoting him, you know, I want to quote because I think this is an amazing quote that he says right here. He says that I'm just going to paraphrase actually, in this specific study on selenium and vitamin E, which incidentally they found that vitamin E increased the risk of prostate cancer.
Do you believe that?
In their prospective randomized trial, I've got to believe it more so because it was, but nobody was given fish oil in this trial. And the people who, quote, had prostate cancer versus the controls in this observation had the same levels of fish oil in their blood when they measured them.
Okay. One more and then calls. Coconut oil is a big thing today. What's the story on that in your view?
So as you know, I wrote 2 articles on that.
That's why I'm asking it,
it's, you. It's a disaster. The media and the media doctors who change their story every couple years, okay, have changed their story. Now coconut oil is supposed to be good for you. And you know my line is, the comedian Dave Chappelle says it great, I drink Coke and Pepsi, tastes great, whoever paid me last.
Right.
Okay, coconut oil is 93% saturated fat. Butter is 63% saturated fat. Meat is 53% saturated fat. So if you're going to eat coconut oil, go eat 10 sticks of butter. There are 6 major organizations, the World Health Organization, the American Diabetic Association, American Heart Association, look them all up, that saturated fat causes heart disease. It's a disaster, okay? And I have plenty of people who come in and they said, hey, I'm taking coconut oil. Well, guess what? Their triglycerides now are over 700. Not only are they at a risk of developing pancreatitis, they're
diabetes.
At a major risk of heart disease. And this isn't made up. Okay, the shelf life of coconut oil, and you'll love this line, the shelf life of coconut oil is 2 years. Tell me what else had a shelf life of 2 years but was bad for you. Twinkies.
Okay, let's go to some book. We're going to get quick questions and quick answers. I want to get as many of you as possible. And let's go to, okay... Yeah, that's an interesting one. Sue in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania. Hi.
honored to speak with you, Dr. Richmond.
Thank you.
Question regarding, I saw in the news the other day, and this is two-pronged, that by changing one's diet, one could change one's genes. And I don't, and also, if one is on appropriate medication like this new Juxtapose that you referenced, can one not worry as much about what one eats dietarily, and what diet do you recommend?
Great, great questions.
Okay, Doctor. Well, first of all, as I said, 80% of this genetic is genetic, 20% diet. Ultimately, you know, genes change in time as we evolve through, you know, in families, but it's not an overnight type of thing. Medicine is a temporary fix, and it doesn't change anything. It's just like when you have diabetes, you take your insulin, but if you stop your insulin the next day, everything goes back to the way it was. So particles, which transport the cholesterol, last for 3 days. That's why you don't have to fast for this test. So in 3 days, you stop your medicine, you're back to where you are.
Back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richmond. You're listening to The Dennis Prager Show.
If you want to know the truth, can't even taste the difference. Surprise! All I know is Pepsi paid me most recently, so tastes better.
Well, these biannual visits with Dr. Richmond are invaluable. Don't forget lipidcenter.com. He's a heart surgeon and my doctor as well, I will add. And I've been so impressed that I simply had him on the radio. He works too hard, though. I have a beef with him. I'm serious. He does. And I'm saying this publicly so as to embarrass him into a vacation.
Well, you can call it like it is. The last show I was supposed to be on, I'd been up all night working.
Yeah.
And I sat at my kitchen counter so I wouldn't fall asleep at 7:30 a.m. I showered, and I was supposed to be on the 11 o'clock show. And I fell asleep apparently like close to 9, and I woke up, if you remember,
right,
at 11:30 in a panic.
Yeah, you shouldn't panic. That's another thing. Don't panic. You'll kill yourself. I'm going to summarize some questions because we don't have enough time to even have. Stay on, everybody, because the information is more important than you're asking it, even though I always love hearing you. Where is number? Yeah, this one I wanted to ask. In Atlanta, Paul, he's heard other doctors claiming genetics only plays a 2% part. Can Dr. Richmond explain the discrepancy?
There's no discrepancy.
No, you say it's 80% genes, 20% diet.
Well, there's no discrepancy. I mean, as you know, and let's get this straight.
Why is there a difference?
But as you know, this is the one thing about, I have the utmost integrity, morality, and ethics. I only rely on the best possible data from randomized prospective trials, not, as I call it, industry or toilet journals, okay? Anybody can say whatever they want. But the fact is, how come 1 in 300 people have familial hypercholesterolemia? If it wasn't genetics, why is it still the number one killer? If it wasn't genetics, why are disease lines in families, why is diabetes happening in a family
right
at the same age in everybody?
Okay,
even if they're
right
thin.
Paul, in the final analysis, we lay people have to make a decision on who seems to have the credibility.
I want to say one other thing, and you know I always say this on the show, is my particle number is normal. I take a statin. You know why? The just-in-case factor. And I'm not going to take something that is harmful. And I really do believe that if an Andrew Breitbart or if somebody like that would have been on the correct medicine, maybe they would have been alive today.
Right. All right. I'm sorry to the rest of the callers. Get these tests or go to the Lipid Center, contact the doctor. Lipidcenter.com or go to DennisPrager.com. It's on our website. God bless you, Michael Richmond.
Thank you, Dennis, for having me. You know I love it.